Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We are going to continue with our study on the one true church. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures, or the Old Testament scriptures, I think they talk a lot about Jesus, yeah? And the church that God would establish before He comes again. Right? Now, I think you have done Song of Songs already, right? That book is talking about the church as well. Right? I just want to give you a rough idea. Right? I want you to turn to Micah. Now, yesterday we defined what the church is, and we also talked about some of the terms and concepts used in the Old Testament scriptures. Right? Okay, I want you to turn to Micah. Turn to chapter 3. Right, we read from... we read from verse 10, okay? Verse 10 to verse 12. Build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her head judge for a bribe, her priest her teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and said, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Now, verse 12. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins and a mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Right. Now here it talks about the destructions of Mount Zion. We know that the church of God cannot be destroyed. But here in Micah chapter 3, it talks about God has decided to destroy or turn Jerusalem into heaps of ruins. Right? Now, so when you come to chapter 4, it talks about the re-establishment of Zion. Okay? Now, I think you must have been in a church long enough to hear about the church in two different periods. Remember? The Apostolic Church and the end-time true church. I think our teaching fit very well into this prophecy. You get what I'm saying? That's why I believe that many of the passages in the Old Testament scriptures actually refers to Jesus Christ and His church. That's why from here we can see the importance of knowing the church, knowing the church that you are in, knowing teachings concerning the church. Okay, we turn to First Peter. Yeah. We read First Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have been quiet and search carefully who prophesies of the grace that would come to you. Right? Now, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Here it talks about the prophet in the Old Testament time who have been trying their best to inquire and search into the prophecy concerning the grace that will come to the time of the apostle and also I believe, our time. Right? Now today we have not seen the physical Jesus. Right? Now the grace that we receive from Christ actually is through the church. Right? So that's why again you can see how important the church is. Right? So I think if we have a clear concept about the church, if our belief in the concerning the church is right, then I believe the conviction within us will be strong. And we can be moved to preach the gospel with full faith and convictions. You know, I think sometimes if we are not too clear, you say, oh, this church also can be saved, that church also can be saved. We find that, you know, it can actually weaken our belief, right? Weaken our zeal as well. Right? Not only weaken, sometimes I feel that it can kill off our zeal to preach the gospel. Right? So, again, like what I said before yesterday, when we talk about the one true church, we are not trying to discriminate. We are not trying to ostracize anyone. We are trying to save. Yeah? Because we want to disentangle ourselves from the work of the wicked one. You get what I'm saying? We do not want to be confused. Right? And we want to know exactly what the Bible is talking about. Yeah, so that we can say. Alright, now today we are going to do the requirements of the true church. Yeah? What are the requirements? Holy Spirit. Okay. What else? Signs and miracles. It's miracle, sign and wonders, not MSN, MSW. Okay. Now I think these are the requirements. Basically to confirm that the church that we believe in is the true church. Alright? Now we find that these three requirements are not ideas that we simply piece them together from different parts of the scriptures. Correct? I think we can find evidence from the scriptures which point to the fact that for us to be called a true church, we must have these three requirements. Right? We must fulfill these three requirements. Right? Now, Holy Spirit. Well, what is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit? Eh? Speaking in tongues. You sure? Very sure? Okay. Speaking in tongues. Now, the question is, yeah? The question is. Now, I think this the point of, if I can put it this way, the point of contention is that, yeah? Now, apart from the true Jesus Church, yeah, do you think other churches also have Holy Spirit? What do you think? I think it's important to talk about it. Speak out your mind. Now, like what I said before, we are not trying to condemn anyone or condemn any, you know, any Christians or any churches. Right? Because we have to make it very clear to ourselves that, right? Whatever we believe in is correct, is accurate, is, put it this way, is Bible-based. Right? Now, if I ask you a question, pose you a question, apart from us, do you think other Christian can receive the Holy Spirit? If you say no, how do you know? Have you done a survey already? You get what I'm saying? You know, I think 3-4 years ago, yeah? Remember here, we were talking about a report. Yeah? 4 years ago, if I'm correct, I remember correctly. Yeah.
registered churches throughout the world is about 20,000. Right? 20,000 Christian churches, Christian denomination. Now, what about, you know, fellowship or other churches which have not been registered? So you can imagine so many of them. Right? And to do a survey is virtually impossible. Right? It's not possible. But how do we know that? How do we know that apart from the TJC, all other Christians do not have the Spirit? How do you know? I'm not asking you to go and tell people you don't have the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not saying that, okay?
But this one best is to help us know our own faith, know our own belief. Anyone? Okay.
I want you to look at Joel. Listen to Joel. Okay, we read chapter 2, right? Now, Joel chapter 2, we read verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Before I explain, I want you to look at this idea of former rain and latter rain. It seems that here former rain is mentioned two times, right? Now, on the first account here, it says he has given you the former rain, or it seems it has been given already. Yeah. Now, if you look at this rendering to former rain. Yeah? If you are using NKJV, it says what? Teacher of righteousness. Can you see? What?
So, now actually it fit into the patterns of our belief very well. The first formal rain refers to teachers of righteousness, and then followed by formal rain and latter rain. Okay? Now, we know that Jesus is, put it this way, if I can use it, the teacher of righteousness. Right? After him, then what? Came the downpour of the Spirit. First, it happened in the time of the apostle, and then our time. Okay? Alright? Now,
if you look at verse 23 carefully, it seems that this is given to who?
The children of Zion. Right? Now, remember yesterday we defined Zion? Yeah? Zion? Zion is a group of people who have been redeemed by God. So, I think it's plain clear here. So, if you are a child of Zion, then you are given the privilege to receive the Spirit. Just like Paul says, when a person is baptized into Christ, he or she is a child of God. Precisely because this person is a child of God, the Spirit shall come upon him or her. You get what I'm saying? Right? Because after we have been cleansed,
after we have been baptized, we become the descendants of Abraham. So we are given this privilege to receive the Spirit.
That is the first one. Okay, we turn to Zechariah. Chapter 14, yeah, the last chapter. Well, you read verse 17, right? Zechariah chapter 14 verse 17, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain.
No rain, yeah?
No rain. But obviously we need to confirm that rain also refers to the presence of God. I think we can turn to
okay, we turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 72. Now here it talks about the presence of God is like a like what? Like rain. We read verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. Right? Okay? Now, I think in Isaiah it also says that the word of God is like rain or water. Isaiah 55. Yeah? Okay? So, I think our belief is not without basis.
I think it's very true. Okay? So, according to Zechariah, the last chapter points to the future. Okay?
Now, how do we know? Okay, we can look at one example as well. Chapter 14, yeah? Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, in that day it shall be the one, the Lord is one, and his name one. Right? Now, so,
for those who do not go up to Jerusalem to worship, then no rain shall be given to them. They shall not be given any rain. Meaning they shall not be given the Spirit of God. Right?
Now, these are some of the accounts that we can see based on the Old Testament scriptures. Right?
Now, what about the New Testament scriptures?
I want you to read Galatians. We turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Okay, we read verse 2. What? And then we read verse 5 also. Now verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Right? Now it seems that here, you know, for the members in the churches of Galatia, they received the Spirit through the hearing of faith. Meaning that they must have first heard the truth. Yeah? Put it this way, concerning salvation, or they must have come into contact with the workers of God from the apostolic time. Yeah? Now, through their preaching and with their submission, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Right? You get what I'm saying? So, the receiving of the Holy Spirit is through the hearing of faith. Okay? Now, I also want you to read the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 5. Okay, chapter 5, verse 32, right? 32. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, I think apart from asking God for the Holy Spirit, yeah,
based on Luke chapter 11, I think being submissive or being obedient is also important. That's like we go out to preach.
Right? Like sometimes we go to Africa to preach. Right? Well, I think our experience tells us that many a time when you know, people from our churches, when they show this hearts of obedience, meaning to accept the preaching, you know, God has been very gracious to us. You know, and in fact, when they pray, they receive the Holy Spirit. So I think, you know, the experience that we have confirm, you know, the word of God. Right? So
they must obey to what we preach to them, just like the apostle. They must obey what the apostle preached before they can receive the Holy Spirit. Obedience.
Now, if you look at the
idea of one spirit, and one body. Now, in the book of Ephesians, there is only one body. Right? Meaning, there is only one church
that Jesus has established for himself. And that is according to Matthew chapter 16 as well. He's going to build his own church, his church. That's why he said, I'm going to build my church. One.
Right? Now, we know that this church was actually built after the ascension of Christ. Yeah? When the Spirit came down, and then the church was like practically formed. Right? So, since there is only one body, we believe that if this one Spirit has been given to this one body, then I don't think this one Spirit will be given to another body. It's not possible. It's not possible.
Do you think it's possible that that people who got once came to our church, that they have experienced the Holy Spirit to some extent?
From other churches?
Because we had a member who received the Holy Spirit without coming in contact to our church. And then when she came, and now she's a board member, and I believe her for like 15 years now, she said that the Holy Spirit she received even before coming to church is the same as the one she has now. Is that possible?
My understanding of the scriptures is
it's not possible.
So it's not possible, but actually she's not the only case. There's been several of them. But it doesn't stay with them. It just is something to... Maybe God wants them to experience it, and when they come, they'll know that this is the... I don't know if that's the case.
Now this...
Okay. Now, if you look at the example in the Acts of the Apostles, right? Now, 120, started praying for the Holy Spirit. Okay, when you moved to what, Samaria? So who preached to the Samaritan? One of the agents who were baptized. Either on the day of Pentecost or after, right? So it's from the same line. And then when you go to chapter 9, it's the same. Paul's conversion, Ananias was there. And then we come to chapter 10, it's the same, right? Chapter 19, right? Now, the point that I want to make is this: when you look at the case in Samaria, Philip went there and preached, right? And none of them received the Holy Spirit, not until Peter and John came. Right? Not until Peter and John came. And then when you come to chapter 10, or chapter 9, right? Now, God actually has chosen Paul already on his way to Damascus. But God did not give him the Spirit. Not until Ananias met him. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, when you come to chapter 10, it's the same. Why? Because God has already revealed himself to Cornelius in a vision. Right? Saying to him that he must go and what? Meet up with Peter. But we find that at that point in time, God did not give him the Holy Spirit, not until Peter came into contact with him. Right? And this idea, the patterns in the Acts of the Apostles,
actually fit into the concept of one spirit, one body, one body, one spirit. I believe that God will move people to come, the spirit will move people to come. But they need to listen to the word first before they receive the Holy Spirit, according to my understanding. Otherwise, it can be very confusing. As far as I'm concerned, God is a God of order. Right?
He says, as far as some of them receive the Spirit, and they be given
a pamphlet. Our doctrine. Possible. Possible.
Unless they receive the Holy Spirit. Or we go as far as saying that. This last case, technically someone born alive.
They'll come to us.
In terms of the receiving Holy Spirit, if we place the Bible, obviously they didn't have the internet back then, so it wasn't person to person. But if you say today, you can, there are so many different ways of reading or coming in contact with the previous right. If you picked up the Manor magazine, you read it, and knelt down and prayed.
And believe in it. Possible.
Is that still the word for?
My understanding is this, yeah? There is a pattern in the scriptures. You know, otherwise it can be very confusing, I'm telling you. People will just come in and say, look, I have already received the Holy Spirit. I don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit. I think there have been cases, yeah, like in our work, right? You know, people who first came to the church say that they have the Holy Spirit. And after listening to the word, the message, and pray again, right? Then, yes.
Quite much more often than yes. That exception.
Yeah. Exception. Oh. I'm not too sure about that. Maybe it has to be verified by one of your pastors in the US. I don't know. Okay. Happy with this? Oh, not very happy.
So wouldn't you say then, basically, since they don't have the truth, that there's no way they have a true Holy Spirit? Or even if they did experience Holy Spirit, would not stay with them because they don't have the truth. And if they don't have the truth, they can't obey God. If they can't obey God, they can't. He's sons of God, so they can't have the Holy Spirit.
There are two ways to look at it. First,
they are not baptized into the body. Secondly, they have not heard about the truth. That's the main thing, isn't it? So that's why Paul questioned, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? By the work of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Very important question. How did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first came to the true Jesus Church? Because you have heard what we preach to you. Is that also? And then you pray, you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there are also cases where people say they have the Holy Spirit and come to the church, right? And got baptized. Later on, just left. I'm telling you. That's what I think.
I think it's important for us to make it very clear to ourselves and also to the truth seeker whom we preach to. Very important.
If that is the case,
it means that other church or other churches also have the Holy Spirit. If they have already received the Holy Spirit, then why should they come to us? And God should have revealed the complete truth to them. Right? We come to know the truth because of the Spirit. Yeah? Now, if they have already received the Holy Spirit, then they should stay in their church.
That's why I believe this kind of thing. Eh? You need to find backup from the scriptures.
Right? Now, like people, like what our sister has said.
Okay? Someone received the Holy Spirit even before he or she came to a true church, without even heard the truth. Right? Now,
I cannot find such an example in the scriptures. There's no way to be found. And to me, this is so important, because this is the basis of our belief.
But then, when our church started in 1917, it came from them not really hearing it. But people who really sought God, wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, they sought after God, and then they received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealed to them, like our early workers, who weren't preached to, but they were, they came in contact with.
I think at that time the church was not even in existence.
Anyway. Right.
So, that is an acceptable exception. My goodness. I think if you get involved in preaching work, if this one is not clear, I think it's very confusing. Sometimes you can be deceiving. You can be deceived. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's the pattern shown in the scriptures. But I believe that God will guide people to come to the church, right? And I also believe that these people can only receive the Holy Spirit after the hearing of faith. Anyone? Before 1917. To me, honestly speaking, I don't think that is the, maybe it's the movement of the Spirit, but I don't think the people then have received the Holy Spirit. First, it cannot be verified anyway.
Right.
Now, as far as the scriptures is concerned, it's only given to the body of Christ. If these people had received the Holy Spirit, then they should have started a church. That's why to me it's not possible. Yeah, not from the east, not from the east. Texas, west. To me it's not possible. The claim to have received the Holy Spirit, but I think they were similar to what the Pentecostal faith today. Yeah, similar. You know, I think if you have come into contact with these people, when they pray, they do speak in tongues.
Two periods of rain,
No, we are not going to talk about that. That's why, unless we don't believe in the prophecy of Joel, it's only two periods, early rain and latter rain, that's it. Wintry shower. Something that I really do not understand why God had performed the way He did. You know? That is what I cannot question. If He has decided to have two period reigns, I cannot question. Okay. Happy with this? I see frown faces. Another exceptional. Did Paul receive the Holy Spirit first or after baptism? Did he receive the Holy Spirit before baptism? Paul. There you go. That's why the two requirements are very essential.
You must have both. You must fulfill both. Some people receive the Holy Spirit before baptism, or the other way around.
Some people baptize first and then receive the Spirit. You must have, yes.
Other than that one thing that I just read, I do want to say that in all the instances that we've had in Carolina, people claiming they have Holy Spirit, they've never had it. It's always been different. When they came to our church, they always said they do, but then when they come and pray, it's different. And when we look at them, they're different. And there was actually one case where this lady said she's had the Holy Spirit for a long time, and she claimed she had it. But then after 5 months of coming to our church, suddenly one day we had a Bible study, and after a Bible study, for some reason that day, I think she was really listening to the Bible study, she was really touched, and within 2 minutes, she got the Holy Spirit. She was completely filled by it. She said she was crying, and she was speaking in tongues. Her voice was very loud, and then she was still crying. And she said, "Now I know the Spirit you have is totally different from the one I have." And then... then she tried to pray again because she said it was so joyful, just never experienced anything.
I think many of our workers that go to Africa, they have the same experience, seriously. Right? I think that there was an occasion in Kenya. Right? We met up with a group of, I think, from Pentecostal church. Right? So after talking with them, you know, we invited them to pray. Right? So our workers also started laying hands on them. You know, one of them, you know, when he was praying, it's like he was practicing martial art. So, you know, one of the workers said, "Hallelujah."
he fell.
So then continue to pray for him. Then true seekers. And he came back up, started praying again, and started the fighting. Yeah? So the working woman again. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit. That's why, to me, right? To me, God is a God of order. Right? He does not create confusion. Yeah? Especially when we talk about the Holy Spirit, this is such an important truth, a doctrine of the church. Right? We must be very clear what we are doing. Right? We cannot simply say, "Oh, this guy is the Holy Spirit." Right. Any other question from this? You can think about this, yeah. If the teaching of the Holy Spirit is confusing, basically the foundation of the church is shaken. Very serious. Yeah. In the future, how are we going to discern Spirit? How do we know which one is the spirit of truth and which one is the spirit of error? No way. Why? Because we don't have a basis on which we can exercise our discernment. There's no backup from the scriptures. You see that today the Christian world is in great confusion. That's why we must be very firm. Even people laugh at you, it doesn't matter. If this is found in the scriptures, then we have to believe. Okay, so the three requirements, yeah? What's that? Holy Spirit, truth. Okay, now my question, the next question is, apart from the true Jesus Church, do other churches also possess the complete truth of salvation?
Hardliner. No.
Not possible. There are two true churches. There are two churches. Yeah. So apart from the true Jesus Church, do you think it's possible for other faiths or to other denomination to possess the complete gospel of salvation? Talking about gospel, the doctrines, is that not? I'm asking you.
Yes, I think
it's possible. Okay, I think I will spend some time to talk about the foundation of the church, and maybe on Thursday, but never mind. I want to look at we turn to Psalms 87. We read verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountain. And obviously the mountains here point to Zion in verse 2 and verse 5. Right, we turn to 1 Peter, yeah? Chapter 2. Now verse 6, alright? Obviously the same quotation can be found in Isaiah or Matthew. Okay, verse 6, yeah? Therefore it is also contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believe on him will by no means put to shame." It talks about the presence of Jesus, yeah? and all. Rather, Jesus being the foundation in Zion is something that God has done it Himself. He has not laid this stone or cornerstone in any other church apart from Mount Zion, His people. But again, to me, I think it's quite certain that apart from us, there's no other church which has this complete truth of salvation.
Okay.
I have a hypothesis. Hypothesis is not accepted. Go on.
Okay, so,
according to the Bible, God has
the
same spirit.
No, I know, but hypothetically.
I think it's quite simple. If they don't change their name, then we won't baptize them. Simple as that.
So, but what does the name got to do with it? Like, the name is like, you just made up the name.
No. Now, if you come to know the truth, and if you have accepted the truth, and you want to get baptized, why do you want to make a distinction between yourself and the true Jesus Church?
No, I just say hypothetically.
That's why hypothesis is not accepted.
They say, I don't like the name.
this is the best name, right? Where can you find it?
You know, this thing has happened so many times in Acts, and they've never failed to not want
to talk. No, I just say hypothetically. That's true. What's the congregation said? Yeah, we like all the doctrine. We like the Holy Spirit, but we don't like the name. So we just don't call ourselves this other name.
Like what?
Whatever the name of the city there, the Nairobi Church, or whatever they want to call it.
No. Okay, can we read Isaiah 62? I think the name is the will of God, okay? But I don't want to read too much into it, but just for your reference. Okay, we read from verse 1. For Zion's sake, Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Okay, verse 2. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Verse 3. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This refers to the church. If you cross-reference this to Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 19. Right? Now here it says, Zion shall be called by a new name, meaning a name that has not been known before. Right? The best name. So you should adopt it. But because it sounds offensive to you?
No, offensive. What is the church really? It's just the body and the spirit. Right? Like in the New Testament, the church did not have church.
Yeah, but there was only one church then. But today there are so many churches. So the name is like to distinguish ourselves from the rest. That's why the name appears to be important. No, stick to true Jesus Church. You can actually get confirmation from the scriptures as well. Yes, I think. You know, to me, our belief is Bible based, because it's like a foundation. Right? Things concerning our salvation can be found in the scriptures.